Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Bob Iger steps down, a new way to experience Smuggler's Run, Star Wars Night goes light speed without the rise,
a bunch of new merch, new food, meet and greets, we discuss Bob Iger leaving, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of February 26th, 2020. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to Amber, Patricia K, Amy H for supporting the show. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Without the community of support, we would not be able to produce the show and travel to the parks to get you the weekly news and information that you have come to count on. If you'd like to become a weekly tier yourself, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, our trip in April is coming up so fast. We'll be in the parks from Sunday, April 26th through Friday, May 1st. During that time, we'll be posting Patreon-only content from the parks and our trip as a whole. If you're interested in seeing our visit to the Walt Disney Studios, Villains Night, or just us enjoying the parks, becoming a weekly tier is the best way to make sure that you are not missing a moment of the fun. To join the other weekly tiers, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Well, if you're ready to start planning your next Disney vacation, so are the people over at Concierge. James, Mike, Scott, and the whole team will listen to what you want to make out of your trip to the happiest place on earth and will work to make all of your dreams come true. Best of all, there's no additional cost to you. They can even help you explore outside of the parks, at Disney resorts, cruises, or other great adventures. All trips, big or small, can benefit from working with the Concierge.
Now let's get to the news. Well, after the stock market closed on Tuesday, Disney CEO Bob Iger announced that he would be stepping down immediately from his position, and Bob Chapek, who ran the Parks Division, will take over as CEO. Bob Iger will stay on as chairman of the board through the end of his contract in December of 2021. Bob Chapek joined the company in 1993.
So we won't go into this into too much detail because this will be what our discussion topic is for this week, but I was shocked. I mean, it's always one of those things I feel like they never really quite fulfill their contract in their normal role type thing. Sure. So, but I was just shocked that it was so soon.
Yeah, I mean, he's been kind of putting off his retirement. Like, he was supposed to leave a few years ago, then he extended it. And, of course, we just talked about Bob Iger at length a few episodes ago when we talked about the book that he had. And, you know, so I've been kind of waiting for him to, you know, leave at the end of 2021. I didn't think that they had come to some conclusion of who was going to take over from him. So I was a little shocked today that it was like, he steps down. In fact, the first place we saw it was in our supporter chat. One of our listeners posted in there. And so I immediately saw it and went looking and I was like, oh man. We'll get into it in the discussion topic. I don't know if Bob Chapek is the person that I'm like super excited about, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
So I have to share a funny story. So you know how social media like sends you ads and like shows you things that they think you'd be interested in?
Sure.
So I saw all these headlines on social media. It was Instagram and Facebook, if it matters. But all these headlines saying like, Bob Iger is, you know, no longer the CEO. And I'm like, this is old news. We knew that he was going to be like, right. I thought that this was just catching up. And then it was basically one of those catchy titles to just draw you in to then find out, oh, you know, it was the whole contract being up at the end of 2021 thing. Nothing new. And then, yes, then somebody in our chat was like, he's leaving, Chapek's in. And I was like, well, oh, I guess I should have. That was the one time I probably should have clicked on the clickbait. And I'm like, no, I'm smarter than you, clickbait. I'm not falling for that.
I probably would have thought it was clickbait, too. So I think you were perfectly justified in not clicking on it.
Well, our friends over at Fresh Bake Disney on YouTube have documented an alternative mode to the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run attraction over in Galaxy's Edge. The mode, which some are saying is a new mode, but is also rumored to have been available since launch, is called Chewie Mode. This mode replaces the voice lines from Hondo with grunts and groans from Chewbacca. To access this mode, before the cast member checks your seat straps and starts the attraction, the pilot needs to push each control to the far left or right and push the flashing button. The gunners and engineers need to hold one of the flashing white buttons near the score screen and hit the flashing orange button. Holy cow, I don't understand how they cracked this code. Way to go, Fresh Baked.
So, I don't know for sure, but I think what happened was somebody was, like, tipped off by Imagineering that, like, this was something you could do. Fresh Baked Disney, David over there, yeah, got some people together. They got a full 6-person crew, and they actually went on it 3 times trying to do this, and it was the 3rd time they went on it they actually got it to work. And so their problem that they figured out was they knew all the stuff that they had to do. They just didn't know when you had to do it.
Oh,
so they were
sure
doing it before, and then they realized before the cast member hits the go button, after checking your seat straps, that's when you have to do it. So the second you get in and sit down, do this.
Wow.
I never would have figured it out.
I know. That's like, wow. We're going to have to take notes and we're going to have to try this out.
Yeah. Well, the fact is it's going to be you and me, so we're going to have to get the
Four friends.
Well, we'll get Richard, who's going to ride with us, and some other weekly tiers. Kate, maybe?
Yep. Deanne.
Deanne?
We'll find our 4 friends.
There you go. And we'll see. Hopefully, we don't have to ride it 3 times like Fresh Bake did.
Or we'll just have to make new friends.
That's true. The only thing that people are thinking that this could cause problems, and I implore all of you listening, if you are going to try this, don't make the cast member's life difficult.
Oh,
let them
yeah
do their job. Don't be like, don't do anything. We got to try to do this, blah, blah. Because there's a lot of concern online that it's going to cause problems and headaches for the cast members, because now this is out there. People are going to be like, how come it didn't work for me? Or can we try it again?
Oh,
or like all this stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
The other thing Fresh Baked did, and I don't know if it's part of this Chewie mode or not, but they basically did everything they could to crash it the worst possible throughout the attraction. So when the cast member opened the door to get them out, they're like, what did you guys do? Because apparently, like, it was bad. So, but I'm still hoping that they bring another scenario to,
sure,
to this, mm-hmm, at some point. Although, again, I don't know how you're going to rotate through, like, Star Tours. Like, it's random. But, you know, which encourages riding multiple times. I think it would give it a second life if there was multiple journeys you could take.
I think so, too.
You know what they could do that'd be super cool? They could do almost like an Indiana Jones, where when you take off, you can steer one way or another, and it takes you on a different journey.
There you go.
So you could turn, as you take off, if you turn all the way to the right, you do one scenario. If you stay in the middle, you do another scenario. Mm-hmm. If you go left, you do a different scenario. Mm-hmm. So then, like, you can control. So, like, last time, we did the right way. This time, let's do the middle way.
Sure.
I think that could be pretty cool. My only problem, this is a good time to talk about this. My only problem with both of these Star Wars attractions, and I have not ridden Rise of the Resistance, obviously, yet, but videos I've seen online, it seems to me like when you go from space to the ground, it seems very abrupt.
Yeah, that is
like,
true.
Like, in real life, like, you wouldn't go that fast to the ground. So that's been my problem, because Smuggler's Run is like that. You come out of hyperspace over Batuu, and, like, you come in and you, like, land, but it feels like you miss, like, a whole section of the atmosphere. And I know, sure, like, obviously, for realism and stuff, like, it's hard. Like, that's going to eat up valuable ride time that's not giving anything, but still. Anyway. Speaking of Star Wars, the tickets for Star Wars Night on August 27th to coincide with the Star Wars celebration across the street went on sale last week. Tickets for annual pass holders went on sale on Thursday, with general sales on Friday. The tickets sold out almost immediately on Friday. Along with the ticket sales, Disney announced that Rise of the Resistance would not be open for this event.
So we talked about this this past weekend during our Patreon stream, and then also our live stream on YouTube. This is just mind-boggling to me. I mean, we knew that they were going to sell out fast, right? I don't feel like that's a surprise. What shocks me is that I would love to know how many non-AP people were actually able to purchase these tickets, because it was almost, I mean, it was worse than the mini ears.
Mm-hmm.
It was, but so we feel very fortunate that we were able to snag tickets. So guess what? That means that we're going to have another trip in August. We don't know any details except we're going to Star Wars night. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty darn excited about that. But I would love to, and we'll never know, but I would love to know how many tickets were purchased by APs versus how many tickets were purchased by the general public.
I see a comment. Do you know what time they went on sale on Thursday to the general public?
They went on sale
Friday, yeah.
Thursday for APs. I don't know. I think it was like in the wee hours, because we did have a supporter in the chat say that friends of his were trying to get tickets, and it was like some crazy early time that normal people would be sleeping that these people had tried to purchase the tickets, and they were unfortunately weren't able to.
So I don't know. Okay, so the 20th, right, was that Thursday, right? So that was AP tickets. Mm-hmm. There's a comment on the Disney food blog that says, as of 10:30 a.m. today, they're already sold out. And that was posted on the 20th. So I wonder if it sold out, like AP stuff sold out. Because that would have been
10:30. That would have been 12:30. I'm trying to remember when I did here. I'm going to go back and look at our.
You did it on 10 something because I sent it to you like right away. And I was like, Teresa.
Now I'm curious because maybe we were close to the cutoff of them not selling it.
So you purchased them at 10:30 Central Time.
Oh.
Because at 10:47 a.m., so that was 8:47 Pacific. So a couple hours after you bought it, the tickets were sold out.
According to
that. At least the ones for annual pass
holders. So, and another rumor that we heard was, again, from somebody in our Discord chat. The friends that were up at the wee hours in the night trying to get these tickets were actually able to purchase the tickets. It sounded like Disney either took the money out of their account or at least had the money on hold. But then a couple hours later, they received an email from Disney, and they also called Disney, and basically they were told, we're really sorry, but we actually oversold the event. So even though we charged you for tickets, there aren't actually tickets left. And so these people who thought that they had snagged tickets actually didn't.
You know what,
so I feel really bad about that. So I'm also wondering, you know, was that a fluke or how many people did that happen to as well?
Do you know what I wonder? I wonder why. So Sweethearts Night had two nights. Why would they not do two nights for Star Wars? Well, I would almost not even be surprised if they were like, we're going to add a second Star Wars night.
Yeah, maybe. The other thing, because I was thinking about that with Villains Night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, any of these After Dark nights, I'm surprised that they don't do multiple nights on more of them. But
so Star Wars Night sold out.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Sweethearts Nights sold out before. You know that they're still pumping Pixar Night that's happening like this week, and they still haven't sold out of there. So it's really interesting like what's working and not working.
Well, I think Sweethearts Night, I don't think at least one of the nights didn't sell out until later that, like the week that it happened. So there might be hope for maybe
Pixar is
night.
Only one night, and it hasn't sold out yet.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
That is true. But, you know, everyone might have been, like us, was really excited about different After Dark events, and so they decided to go to those instead. I think this is totally off topic, but I do think that Pixar Night's actually going to be pretty, pretty fun.
Yeah.
We keep learning more and more about it. We do have some little news bits about it later, but it sounds like they're really trying to make it a fun night.
Sure.
The last season of the Clone Wars animated series has premiered on Disney Plus, and with it, some new merchandise. There are some new Ahsoka Tano mini ears that feature an orange bow mimicking her face. The ears are blue and white, matching her Togruta mantras, and the band makes up her crown. The words, I am no Jedi, are stitched on the side of the band. Along with this, there is a ton of new The Child, or Baby Yoda if you prefer, merchandise from shirts to stickers to mugs and more.
So I saw people really mad about this today because...
Why?
Well, no, the Baby Yoda stuff. Because Imagineering has this mandate that like Batuu is only like this time frame, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, sure.
And they put merchandise carts just outside of Galaxy's Edge selling Baby Yoda merchandise.
Sure.
And there were so many people that were like, this seems so cheap and like a quick cash grab and blah, blah, blah. And all I'm thinking is like, get over it, people. Like, it's just some merchandise carts. Like, don't buy it if you're upset about it.
You know what, though? This is my thought. There is so much merch. I feel like every week we're just talking about all this new merch that they're pumping into the parks. They've got to be running out of room.
Mm-hmm. Well, that too,
because maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe the stores over in Tomorrowland are overflowing and they just had nowhere else to put the merch. But the other thing too, as we learned when we were there, people ask for things that are actually located over in Tomorrowland that you need to purchase in Tomorrowland because, yes, even though it is Star Wars related, like Tag said, it doesn't fit with the theming or the universe of Batuu.
Yeah.
So they do kind of point you, because we were looking for a shoulder porg. And so they kind of politely pointed us and they said something like, oh, I've heard of this land called Tomorrow. I think you can maybe find what you're looking for there. You know, so they did a really good job of staying in character, but like directing you back to Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
So the other flip side of this too, do you think they were getting a ton of inquiries about the child and Mandalorian merchandise?
Well, yeah, of course.
That they probably just like, this is our happy medium fix.
Looking at the wide range of Baby Yoda merchandise.
Gosh, so much.
I feel like the first meme started coming out, and I feel like somebody in merchandising was like, make everything with the baby on it, or the child on it. And so they've got all of this merchandise with Baby Yoda. I have to say, though, looking at this merchandise, there's something about the cuteness of Baby Yoda in the show that I don't feel quite gets captured in this merchandise.
See, some of them I think do.
You think
so? Yeah, others not as much. I think like for example, I'm looking at
this like rubber toy thing looks adorable.
There's some of them, this one?
Yes.
Yeah, there's some of them I think the plushes aren't, you know, they're pretty darn close, you know, because it is a plush. But there's these three little like plastic figures that look so cute. It looks like the baby like reaching for something. One of them looks like he's being cute, and the other one he's got his little cup and he's like drinking out of. Those ones are cute.
I love the cup one. What do you think of Baby Yoda? Did we ever talk about this? Like what your thoughts of Baby Yoda was?
I think Baby Yoda is adorable. I can't wait to learn more about.
I can't wait till he gets a name and we can stop calling him Baby Yoda or the child.
Or the child. The other thing too is that I'm just also super curious because we've only ever seen Yoda, we've never seen anything else that is the same species. So I'm curious to learn more about that because I always loved Yoda. He's one of my favorites. So
do you know what I want in season two?
What?
I want the child to like crazy force use. Like he used it a little bit in the show.
Yeah.
But I want some crazy kick buttness.
So this is what I'm wondering, is all of this, because there's like Nerf guns and there's puzzles. Is this all in the parks? Look at this. This looks like Baby Yoda operation. Do you think this is all
in the
parks?
I hope I caught that on video, on audio, because
this looks like Baby Yoda operation.
Well, with the popularity of The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, some of the characters will be coming to Batuu in the very near future. No word on if the child, better known as Baby Yoda, will appear.
Well, we know for sure that he's got plenty of merch to make an appearance. So.
I would love to get a picture with the Mando.
Yes. I do think it'd be very cute if they did a child. It would have to be like a little animatronic doll thing, because he's just so cute and little. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? Remember how popular BB-8 was when?
Oh yeah,
like BB-8 first came out. This would like make that look like nothing.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, so I'm excited. A Lucasfilm official is quoted as saying that there's been no official announcement, but basically you can expect to see them in the very near future. And the reality is they feel it's important for the guests at the parks to be able to meet the key characters on a firsthand personal basis. So it's something they're working on. They think it's appropriate. They think it's something guests at the parks can look forward to in the very near future. So that gives me hope. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens with the parks and all that stuff. And like I said, I would like to see a Mandalorian. I think it'd be cool. In fact... Depending on the Clone Wars, what happens to the Mandalorians, you could have like a bunch of Mandalorians together. Mm-hmm. Like it'd be kind of cool.
Well, this Friday, the new Disneyland Parade, Magic Happens, finally debuts. Disney has released a new video showing some of the artistry that went into making the costumes, along with some glimpses of the costumes that they are working on.
Do you know what surprised me about this video? I never really thought about how they do fabric.
But
the guy says in the video that we printed this design.
Right.
And we determined that it wasn't shiny or something or magical enough. So we reprinted it without this, and then we used this
vinyl.
Vinyl to put on it. And I'm like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but for some reason in my mind, and logically now thinking about it, of course they're not getting anything off the shelf.
Right.
But for some reason, my mind just thought that they'd find these designs somewhere.
Yeah. It's crazy because they're literally creating their own fabrics to make these costumes for this parade. I just, Oh, I can't wait. If you guys haven't, I would highly, highly, highly suggest going to Disney Parks blog. We'll have the link, of course, in our show notes to this specific video that we're talking about. But they actually had several, they kind of had a little mini series of these videos, and all of them were just very, very interesting. I do personally, I think this one with the costuming and showing the fabrics and that process, I think was probably the most unique and like the most mind-boggling to me, because like Tag, it was not something that I really had thought about, like really in detail. Like I get that Disney makes these costumes, but I didn't realize they were making like everything. You know what I mean?
I just the
it's
whole
just crazy
idea that
it's
they
amazing.
Like print the fabric basically.
Yeah.
And then they have a part of the video where they show like in the computer, almost like you would just like use an architecture program to like build a house. They have like a program that like shows like where the thread goes from like a like a sewing machine. So the fact that like that they can like program all that, and I don't know, just the artistry and like how they have to custom make this stuff. So the fact that they have these artisans in house to do this is just amazing.
Yeah, incredible.
I mean, it makes sense because like obviously you're making costumes for, you know, characters and stuff that you know, but still amazing. Well, the Disney Channel Fan Fest is returning for its third year on Saturday, May 9th. The Disney Quizney Trivia Challenge returns. The family dance competition Disney Fam Jam will be there. Plus, learn to draw sessions. And, of course, some of your favorite Disney Channel stars from Zombies 2, Gabby Duran and the Unsittables, Bunked, and more. So, these are always pretty popular. It's kind of cool to get out and see some people.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of curious when I saw this. I know it's Disney Channel, not Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering, I was kind of curious if they were going to put some Disney Plus people, like from High School Musical, the Musical, the Series.
Sure, yeah. Well, as with every other festival or celebration recently, Disney has posted the Foodie Guide to the Food and Wine Festival. There are over 20 locations participating in the event, including 13 food and wine-specific booths. Holy cow. That's all I gotta say. I'm jealous of everybody that is going, but I also do not envy the hard choices that they are gonna have to make, because there's really nothing on these lists that, like, I would completely veer away from. I think I would try at least everything. There's way more stuff.
You would try at least
if I could.
Everything.
At least try it. That's what I meant.
Okay.
I would at least try everything. I don't know. Like, there's nothing that I'm like, oh, you know, that's not for me. But yeah, just wow.
Well, and this year it's crazy because like Downtown Disney's getting involved in it, and all the food booths and some of the food locations just around the park. So I was scrolling through and I was trying to count how many booths because I thought it was like booths.
Sure.
And then I was like, wait a minute, this is the Paradise Guarded Grill. This is, you know, some of these other locations. And I'm like, oh, these are those places. And then like further down, it was like, oh, these are Downtown Disney locations. So they've got tons of options.
Can I just say, I think it is really awesome that they do have these foodie guys out there and available. And when I was there for Pixar Fest, they actually handed me a foodie guide. And when we were there for Halloween, I could pick up a paper copy of the foodie guide, too. So hopefully they have this here, too. But it's great because you see these, you know, you see these awesome photos, you hear about these great things, but then you get to the park and you're like, I must have this thing. Where do I get it? And sometimes there's so many new things, and they're constantly changing these things. And just the menu for this is just miles and miles and miles long. You go to ask a cast member, it's very possible that they may not know that off the top of their head. So I think these foodie guys are just great.
Okay.
Plus, you could like create a wish list.
I have not even scrolled that far down this list.
I know.
And I found two things that like I wouldn't normally eat, I don't think, but like sounds really interesting enough for me to try. At the Golden Dreams Marketplace, they have a brunch fried chicken and waffle sandwich, kind of made like a taco, with mimosa inspired slaw and OJ bubbles.
Oh, yes, I did see
and
that.
And of course,
one.
Right next to it, there's the seared Verlosso salmon with lemon pea puree. So I'm not a big pea person, I'm not a very big lemon person. Black rice and Meyer lemon relish, but the salmon looks really good. But I tell you, that idea of a chicken and waffles, like a taco, and having those pearls that are orange, like, I'm very intrigued.
Crazy, crazy unique. I'm not even going to try and pick things off of this because it just so much of it just And it's the thing that's cool is it's not like it's a bunch of repeats that, oh, they just swap this. It doesn't, it feels very unique. I'm sure it isn't as unique as I'm giving it because there's, right, there's only so many things you can do with food.
I don't know.
But it just, the things that I'm seeing look very, very good, very unique. Oh, I think I found something for you.
Uh-oh.
I see a Mickey-shaped caramel peanut milk chocolate macaron.
Oh, of course.
And it's Mickey-shaped. Like, the whole thing's Mickey-shaped. So cute.
I'm just scrolling down and, like, I would eat almost everything on this list. What is this?
If anybody tries this, I'm super curious. There are, at the I Heart Artichokes Marketplace, they have fried artichokes with a lemon aioli sauce. I don't know why, but I'm super intrigued by that.
I just scrolled down and I was looking at the sweet empanada with caramel sauce, and that looks really good. They have a savory one with chipotle crema sauce. I don't know what's in it, but it looks good.
There was also, where did I see it? Here it is. There's a buffalo-style roasted turkey leg complete with celery slaw and blue cheese.
Again, I think they hit it out of the park. This stuff all looks amazing. Speaking of amazing food, two new items have come to the Tropical Hideaway in Adventureland. The first is a PB&J mochi, which is a Japanese rice cake filled with peanut butter and topped with a drizzle of raspberry sauce and sprinkled with peanut butter dust. The mochi comes in a set of three for $6.99. The second item is a sweet lumpia made of banana, jackfruit, and caramel drizzle. They're two per order and are $6.99. I love mochi. Like, I usually eat ice cream mochi, but this, I feel like, could be really interesting because it's got peanut butter and stuff.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I've never had mochi, period.
Really?
Doesn't matter if it was ice cream or not.
Sure.
I've never had it. And so I'm looking at the photos that WDW News Today has on these. And the texture, I'm really curious about what the texture of these. But they look really
nice. So the white part of it is the thing I actually really like about mochi. It's kind of like...
It's like a dough?
It's kind of gummy almost, like. Okay. And doesn't really have like a flavor. It's more of a texture. Hmm. And then the inside is usually what's really good. Because like my favorite is like a strawberry mochi. And they've got strawberry ice cream inside. But I'm curious with more of like, I guess peanut butter for me is more of a savory-ish flavor than like a sweet ice cream.
Okay.
So I'd be interested to try this. I hope it's there when we're there in April. It sounds very good.
I'm curious about the sweet lumpia too. So like you said, it has and jackfruit and then it's drizzled with caramel.
Yeah.
It looks good. I also did not realize that they have a savory version and they have like a pork one. So I think one of our next trips, I want to try that pork lumpia too. We'll get some bao buns, of course, and we can try the pork lumpia
the,
as well.
The lumpia looks like an egg roll almost.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Huh. I'll try it. I mean... I think we've made it clear on the podcast that Tropical Hideaway is like one of our favorite places.
Yes.
Oh, and we're going to talk about my other favorite place.
Another favorite place. So speaking of favorite places, Bengal Barbecue is also a great place to pick up a quick snack. And now there are even more options. The specialty skewer has shrimp, spiced ham, and pineapple served with a pina colada dressing. So unfortunately for me, the only thing that sounds delightful for me is pineapple and pina colada dressing. I'm not a fan of the rest of this. So
you're not a pork or shrimp fan?
Yeah. So not shrimp.
Spiced ham.
Yep. I'm not a shrimp person, and ham is not my favorite either.
Me either.
So I think I'll just stick with the regular. I think I did the beef one and really liked it last time.
Yeah. Well, I love the beef skewer that's there.
Yum.
Well, the original Soarin' Over California film will be returning to DCA on February 28th and run through April 21st. Annual pass holders will have extended access to the attraction on March 11th, 18th, and 25th for an additional hour after park closing.
I really like that they do these additional AP only kind of mini events, I guess I'll call it that. So I was very happy for you because we knew that they were going to be bringing Soarin' Over California back.
They still might extend it.
I know. So my fingers are crossed because, as you guys know, Tag has only ever somehow managed to be in the park when it's Soarin' Over California. So I don't know if that's good luck or not good luck, but he really wants to soar over the world. So fingers crossed.
I just want to see it
once. Yeah, fingers crossed that they don't extend it out so you can see the world this time. Well, the entrance to Tomorrowland is finally out from behind Scrims. The refurbished walls are a lot cleaner and have a more iridescent coloring than the previous walls. The planter area also received an update reminiscent of the old fountains that were in this area decades ago.
So it's so funny. I showed this to James earlier, And he looked at it and was like, eh. And then I showed him a picture of what it looked like before. And he's like, oh, that is a lot nicer. Because it's the same design. It's just right. more iridescent.
Yeah. No, it looks really nice. I can't wait to see it in person.
I got really excited because the first pictures I saw of this week were before that they'd put the plants in the thing. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, it's reminiscent of the old fountain. And I'm like, are they going to put a fountain? I love fountains.
Yeah.
But fountains are so hard to maintain. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that they put some plants in, I'm like, okay. I wonder if they're still edible, though.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It looks like... So, looking at the pictures that Disney Food Blog had posted of the planters, I didn't notice that until you said this, but it looks like each planter has a different thing in it. It is not the same plant in all five planters there. Like, the greens are different. So, maybe it is still edible. I guess I don't know.
The other thing, too, is as cool as this looks during the day... They also have cool lighting on it at night.
Oh, nice.
So it looks really nice. So
I'm very excited.
I can't wait to see it in person.
I'm very excited that Tomorrowland's getting some TLC, and it makes me hopeful that they'll just continue going past the entrance and give some TLC to the rest of the land, too.
Well, the new Disney Pixar animated movie Onward that comes to theaters on March 6th is celebrating with a character meet and greet in the parks. Barley and Ian Lightfoot will debut at Pixar Night on March 5th and be regulars on Pixar Pier starting March 6th.
I think that's so fun. It seems like there's been some back and forth in the chat as to how people feel about this new movie. Personally, I'm very excited about this movie. I think it looks like a very fun film.
I love Tom Holland. So I'm going to go see it. But I will also say that when I heard about the storyline for this and the people who wrote it, and it's kind of like, you know, it's about, you know, connecting with your dad or whatever that like died when he was younger or whatever. Like, I like that idea and I feel very like up about it. Do you know what I mean? Like the movie Up, like it's going to be like, like, you know, it's going to be sad.
It's going to be an emotional roller coaster for sure.
I do kind of think I'm interested to see Chris Pratt and Tom Holland together, because like they seem so kind of different. I guess they were in Avengers together.
I think that's what's gonna make it fun, is they have two very unique, I wouldn't say like polar opposite personalities, but they have two unique personalities that I hope kind of shine through with the characters.
I think it's gonna be good. I'm excited for it, actually.
Well, with Pixar Night at Disney California Adventure just around the corner, Disney has announced that there will be an AP exclusive magnet. The magnet says Disneyland After Dark AP Pixar Night and is in the colors of the Luxo Ball. No word on where you can pick up this magnet yet, but just keep your eye out for it. You know, there's something about this design. It's so simple and straightforward, but I like it. It's crisp.
You're all about these magnets.
I am. What do you think of this magnet?
That's okay.
It's a magnet. I don't know.
There's something about the bright pastel kind of colors of the Luxo Ball that, like, I just don't get that excited about. Well, for those guests who missed the Backside of Water, or O2H for producer Vern, there's a new Jungle Cruise board game coming this June. The game is for 2 to 4 players navigating the river to pick up passengers and cargo while trying to keep their boat in one piece. The game will retail for $29.99.
So this 100%, I think, will probably be in my home. It will probably be in your home, too, because of producer Vern, or producer, because of producer James. This looks fun. I was a little worried that it would be, like, I don't know, based on the movie and, like, kind of like a movie promo thing. But it looks to me like it's attraction-based. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm all about it.
It could be interesting. You know, sometimes you play a game and you're like, meh, but we'll see how this one goes. I'm excited.
Looks fun to me. Well, on March 4th and 5th, annual pass holders will be able to spend an additional hour inside the Temple of the Forbidden Eye as the Indiana Jones Adventure celebrates AP Nights. No word yet on how this will work, but we do know that you will need a special wristband to ride.
Well, we at least know that March 4th and 5th, the attraction will still be open before its big refurbishment.
That's true.
But I think that also means that it'll probably close sometime right after that, and we'll be closed when we're there, which is sad, because I think it's the only time I've ever been at Disneyland and Indiana Jones Adventure has been closed.
That might be the case. I'm trying to think if
what will we do for our first attraction?
We'll just have to go past it and go see the updated Haunted Mansion instead.
Well, we'll have to go in. Well, if it's open, it should be by then.
Fingers crossed.
but we did have, at least for me, we had a lack of Haunted Mansion time when we were there in August. I know you had Haunted Mansion time when you were there later.
Yes.
So we'll have to like ride that a few times to get the fix.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, a new Mickey balloon ear headband has floated into the parks. The new headband features ears that look like classic Mickey balloons that you can buy in many places around the parks. They also light up and look even better at night.
So, of course, I love these.
Everybody was, like, messaging us, like, has Teresa seen these?
Oh, I love that. That was great. So we got emails. We got some Facebook private messages, mm-hmm. people in the chat. Yeah, that was
Aren't you glad that people
awesome.
Are looking out for your ear
they
collection?
They are. They're looking out for me and my ears. I love it. But so I am going to be super honest. The one thing I'm nervous about with these is the headband on them. It looks like the headband that's like that plastic one that looks like it's like going to pinch my head way too much and give me a headache. So I'm keeping an open mind. I'm hoping that maybe they'll still be available when we're there. I will try them on and fingers crossed they will not
be. They could be heavy too.
Yeah, and that's okay too. Maybe I'll just get them for nighttime or something. But I don't know if they'd be a full, like if they'd be comfortable to wear for the full day at the parks.
Sure.
Well, not only are there new Mickey balloon ears, but there's also a spirit jersey. The spirit jersey is white with pink lettering and has different pastel color balloons on the bottom. There's also a mini ear tank top by Her Universe, a Mickey ice cream bar shirt, and a Sleeping Beauty castle logo shirt. These were all spotted at Le Baton Rouge in New Orleans Square. I feel like I say this a lot. I do. So when spirit jerseys first came out, wasn't the biggest fan, but I do really like what they've been doing with them, and I really love the Mickey balloons, so, you know.
The shirt, the Sleeping Beauty Castle shirt, I think looks cool. The Mickey ice cream shirt also is kind of cool, but yeah. I think the castle is more my favorite. I don't care about the tank top. The spirit jersey's cool. I wish they'd just do a regular shirt with this design. Like, I'm so anti-spirit jersey. We've talked about it a bunch of times.
Yeah,
but
the cut of a spirit jersey, I think, is really interesting because I don't know. Maybe I got to try one on and I'll understand more. Mm-hmm. But the cut just seems interesting to me. The one complaint I personally have is that it's on a white background. I'm very accident prone. Mm-hmm. So this would not be nice and white for very long if I were to purchase it. So that makes me kind of shy away from it. But I do really like the design.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that with white stuff you get concerned because, like, there's so many things that get white dirty. Oh, yeah. I feel like you look at white the wrong way and it gets dirty.
Right.
So, well, the new live-action Mulan movie is coming on March 27th, and there are some new ears to celebrate. A new set of mini ears sporting a gold dragon medallion with a blue bow with a fan and Chinese writing on it. The ears themselves are made out of a red silk-like material with a gold Chinese symbol on it. The other side of the ears have a lime green bow, so you can wear them in two different ways. The headband has the words bravest of all in gold lettering. So what do you think of these? You can like turn them around and have like almost two different sets of ears.
Yeah. You know, I guess I didn't, when I first saw a photo of them, I didn't catch that. I thought that was just kind of like a different layering thing that they had for the ears. Because from what I'm going to call the front, which has the dragon head on it, mm-hmm. it just looks like, you know, kind of, I don't know, it just looks like it's an extension of the blue bow, just kind of something different. So I think why not, right? Why not flip them around and have something different?
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think it adds. It is interesting because when you're looking at it from the blue side, the green adds to the look of the blue side. But when you're looking at them from the side with the green bow, you can only see the green bow and then the fan kind of in the middle of it. So I think that's kind of unique just because it's two very similar but different.
I feel like I wouldn't be, I won't wear these, but I feel like if I did, I feel like I'd only keep it on the blue side because I love that dragon medallion.
Yeah, I think I tend towards the blue side too. The green side is just a little bit more simplistic.
I also think the layered look between the blue and the green bows kind of is neat.
I think so too. I really like these ears. I'm actually a little surprised that they didn't release these earlier and that we didn't see these with Lunar New Year.
It's true.
But I guess we did have a really cool set of ears for Lunar New Year too.
Yeah,
so
true.
Maybe they didn't want to have two similar sets at the same time. But I'm a fan. So the other thing too, we talked about this during our streams again this week. So if you guys tuned into those, I'm sorry if this is kind of a repeat, but I really enjoy ears that are kind of more subtle nods to thing and not always in your face, very, very obvious what it's about. I think that's why I really like my Sally Slater ears because they're Haunted Mansion theme, but they're not like very obviously Haunted Mansion. It's just kind of a nod to it. So I'm a fan.
Do you think, this brings up a question, do you think, or when do you think, I'm sure that it will happen at some point, when do you think people are going to get, like, tired of all of the different ears coming out? Or do you think it's not going to happen?
I don't know if it'll happen, because I think this is, I mean, maybe is like this is just how I,
where people just keep doing it?
Yeah, I think it's similar to pin collecting. But the other thing, too, that I feel is that, you know, not everybody is obsessed like some people. We won't name names. And, you know, so they don't feel like they have to have. And really, I don't own every single pair that they come out. I kind of, you know, pick and choose. So I like having the options. You know, it's fun for it to be only kind of around for a little while, because I feel like when I was younger visiting the parks, there was really only, I don't know, just a couple, right? Just like a handful. And even the same thing with like the Mickey ears and like the more hat style, there was, you know, not very many to see. So I think it's fun. I think it's unique. I think it's a great way to like express your Disney self while you're at the park. I'm all for it. But I don't know if, I mean, the other part of it too, right? Flip side of the coin. When do you run out of ideas? I mean, there's always going to be like new films.
Yep.
But eventually you might run out of characters or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but then you can reimagine it.
That's true. You could just do a different style. I mean, look at the Haunted Mansion. I feel like we've had a lot of different Haunted Mansion themed ears recently, especially with the 50th.
I feel like we're going to get the Haunted Mansion.
We're going to get another set of Haunted Mansion ears with the main attraction ears that come out in October. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know.
I think they've pretty much milked the Haunted Mansion, though. I feel like they can go to some other attractions.
I think they will. I mean, it makes sense, right, for the Mini the Main attraction for Haunted Mansion to be the October ears, like the Halloween themed ears. I get that. But yeah, I don't think we're going to see new Haunted Mansion ears for a while after that. Well, guests might have souvenir mugs for the park and even some attractions, but now they can get one for the Grand Californian Hotel. The new mug is in the style of a beer stein and looks like the wood and stained glass that is featured around the hotel. The mug is available at the GCH Craftsman Bar and Grill.
This looks cool.
It looks hefty.
The problem is I don't know what else you can get it with. The only thing I saw in the article price-wise for it was $37, and it comes with a beer mimosa made with Prosecco, Contro, orange juice, and a lager. So $37, it kind of reminds me of Galaxy's Edge and Oga's Cantina, like high price for like a mug.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool looking.
It is neat. It is neat looking. The only thing, so obviously we have not seen these in person, but with the photos that we're seeing, I'm wondering how many ounces it holds, because it actually looks like it's kind of tall and skinny.
Yeah, I agree. So we have a special announcement we want to talk to you guys about. We are partnering up for a giveaway with All Enchanting Ears, which is an Etsy shop that makes some custom mini ears. And so you can go, we have a link in the show notes as well, but if you go to Etsy and you search for no spaces in between, just All Enchanting Ears, there's some pretty cool designs on there. We talked about them a little bit on our live stream this weekend for supporters.
We showed off a pair on our live stream.
We showed a pair because we got a pair. And there's some cool ones. There's some Baby Yoda. There was the one that we got, which was modeled off of Red from Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. So we actually had some people watching the stream go and purchase like right away. So these are really high quality, nice looking ears. So if you would like to win a pair of these, you can enter to win a pair. Follow DL Weekly on Instagram. Also follow All Enchanting Ears on Instagram. And then tag a friend in the comments. One tag is one entry. If you want more entries, you can tag multiple people in the post. So they will basically run the contest from, so it'll run 2 weeks from the episode being posted on Wednesday, February 26th. So that ends up being March 11th. So enter to win between that time. When the winner is chosen, they will announce it and they will you will contact them, and you get to pick of any of the ears on the shop. Shipping is included, so you don't pay anything. So go ahead and take a look. And if you want to buy some of these ears, I mean, they're pretty cool. Even if you're going to win one, maybe buy one of the other pairs. There's a super cool Beauty and the Beast one that looks like stained glass.
Oh, I love
that
this
is
one
amazing.
So much. I love this so much. Okay, well, of course, I love all of them because let's face it, they're ears and I have a problem. But you guys, I do have to give a shout out because not only, so these are just handmade, and I just, that's mind-boggling to me. Tag and I actually joked because we were talking on the live stream about there's a television show called Nailed It, and so we thought maybe we should have our own version, and it's where you see a photo of something and you have to recreate it, and the show is Cakes. And so we joked that maybe it'd be fun if we did our version of Nailed It, and it's us attempting to make some wonderful, fabulous Disney ears ourselves and see how not great they would probably turn out. But it's just mind-boggling to me that these, you know, that they make these. I just can't believe it. But
we should do it as a stream. We should do it as a stream, and we can have people in the stream like vote.
There you go.
Like, yeah, which
set they like better,
or
but,
worse?
Yeah.
Depending.
So the thing is, guys, these ears, they're very reasonable price. Most of them are actually less than what you would buy a set of ears at the park for.
Sure.
They're very unique. It's not like they're copycats of things that you find exactly at the park. So they're very, very fun, very different. There's Moana ears. There's fuzzy, chewy ears. I mean, come on, who doesn't want a pair of fuzzy, chewy ears? Mm-hmm. So, so, so cute.
They're very cool. But, and I assume that they're going to keep coming out with more and different designs. So
I think so, too.
Go give them a shout out. We will link their Instagram and their Etsy shop in the show notes. So if you're interested in trying to win yourself a pair of ears,
right,
you can find
out
all the information.
So again, you have to like our Instagram page, you have to like All Enchanting Ears Instagram page, and then you just have to tag at least one friend in the comments. So again, the tagging is kind of what gets you the actual entries. So you tag one friend, it equals one entry. You tag 10 friends, you get 10 entries. The other thing too, don't feel like you have to only do one comment. If you think of somebody later, you think of somebody the next week and think, oh, you know, my friend so-and-so I think would really get a kick out of this too. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, tag them later. That's totally fine. But we're very excited to be doing this partnership with them and being able to do a fun giveaway for you guys. It's great. And like I said, I mean, I was sold because it's ears, but the ears, I will say they're very high quality. I did wear them for the stream. Very comfortable. Yes. I wore the pirate red ears for the stream, the public stream. So if you guys want to kind of get a closer look at them or kind of see how they, I don't know, they don't bounce around on my head, and I kind of feel like I move my head a lot when I'm talking sometimes. So, so if you kind of want a closer look or hear us babble more about them, we're fans. So go check them out.
Well, now it's time to take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James will try to stump us with some Disney trivia. He'll ask us four questions and maybe a bonus. We'll attempt to answer, and we'll get the correct answer after the discussion topic. So what do you have for us this week, James?
I have a good range of questions for you that I think you'll actually do pretty well this week. Ooh. So
let's hope.
Softballs. Yay.
Blame it on the listeners if you do otherwise. So
you
our
mean
first
thank
question.
The listeners.
Anyway, our first question comes from Christopher K, and his question is, when you are on Pirates of the Caribbean, what is the restaurant that you pass inside the ride?
The Blue Bayou.
The Blue Bayou. I honestly...
Somebody's really giving
you
us
wanna,
a softball.
You want to know, I had to like... think extra, like I'm thinking like down in the attraction. Oh, if there was a restaurant somewhere in there. Maybe it's a trick question. Maybe there is.
Maybe, but I don't think so.
I'm going with Blue Bayou though.
Blue Bayou.
Who knows? Well, I do, but
oh man.
Our second question comes from Katie J, and she asks, not including Galaxy's Edge, since we don't have clear numbers, what is the most expensive attraction at the Disneyland Resort? And how much did it cost?
At the Disneyland Resort. The whole resort?
The whole resort.
And
Radiator Springs Racers, probably, because they probably did all of the rock work.
The rock work, all of those animatronics.
And I'm going to say $200 million.
Wow.
Because Indiana Jones was $100 million. And that was the most expensive attraction at Disneyland.
I'm terrible. This is a good question, Katie. I think you're right. I think it's Radiator Springs Racers. I'm going to say 250 mil. I have no idea.
it
might have been three something, but I'm going to stick with two.
Maybe it's five. I don't know.
Well, the whole car's name was $1.1 billion. So
it could have been five.
Very well, suppose. I mean, that is the centerpiece of Cars Land. So.
And what are you counting as the attraction? You know, like how far back in the mountain range is, you know?
We will find out when we get an answer, probably.
Yeah. It is true. Our third question this week comes from Camille E., and she asks, the Penny Arcade on Main Street, USA, has an oversized Indian head penny above the main entrance. What year is on the penny, and what is the significance of the year?
Ooh. My gut's 1955, but I don't think they were making Indian head pennies in 1955.
I'm going to say 1901 for Walt Disney's birth year.
I was going to say his birth year. That was my other thing.
But it's been there since the park, and he wasn't really like... He didn't do a lot of things that were like about him, you know, because he didn't want it to be about him. So I feel like that might not be right either. You know, it could be 18 something. It could be his dad's birth year, but I don't know what that is. So if it's his dad's birth year, you got to give me like half a point for at least. But I don't know what year it would be. What are you saying?
My only thought was 1955.
Okay.
But because that's the only year that I knew, because I didn't know what Walt's birth year was. Sure.
This is why you're a team together.
I wonder maybe if it's Lillian's birth year. Do you think
maybe
he would have done something for her?
Maybe.
We're going to go with someone's birth year.
He did. He did. He built all of New Orleans Square for Lillian.
That's
so
true. That's true.
And her friends.
Yeah. I'm going to say your Walt's birth year makes more sense, way more sense than my 1955. But I don't think that's right. But yep. I don't know what it is, so.
Tell you when
great
I read
question.
When I read the question, that was my gut instinct as well. Yeah. It's like 1955, of course. Yeah. So
they definitely did not have Indian head pennies in 1955. I'm no coin expert, but I don't think that was the case.
Maybe someone knows. Anyway, our last question this week comes from Tara F, and she asks, "What Disney sequel featured the famous Matterhorn warning to 'Stay seated, please'?" Bonus points for you if you can tell me the specific character that said the phrase.
Ooh,
it was a Disney
sequel?
A sequel.
Mm. Can we get a hint? Was it?
Saving Mr. Banks.
Yes, the hint is Se habla español.
Se habla español.
As Tag looks stumped and not certain that his answer is correct.
Yeah.
I just feel like because Saving Mr. Banks wasn't a sequel.
Yeah, sequel. I was gonna ask if we could know if it was animated or not animated.
Sure, why not? It is not real life.
I'm thinking of like the genie, keep your hands and arms inside the carpet, but that's not a sequel. That was the original, and that is not
well,
the spiel.
Yeah, and
either.
I was thinking maybe it was in Emperor's New Groove or something, but no, that's not a sequel either. Tara, you stumped us.
That's a good one. I'm gonna say one of the Lion King sequels. I don't know which. I feel like that could be a Timon and Pumbaa, but like you could somehow get that.
My
in with
guess
Timon
is
and
I've never even seen whatever. Have I seen this, do you think?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
And then it probably isn't one of the
I
Lion
wave
King
my sequels. White flag and surrender.
Well, this is a great
call
question.
It a good stumper. So did they do as well as we thought they might at the beginning? We'll find out after we talk about a new CEO on his way.
So for our discussion topic this week, we are, of course, talking about the breaking news today of the fact that CEO of the last 15 years, Bob Iger, has stepped down as the CEO of the Walt Disney Company. And Bob Chapek, who was the chairman of Disney Parks, Resorts, and Merchandise or something like that. He was the chairman of Disney Parks, Experiences, and Products since 2018. And prior to that, the title was chairman of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts.
So for those of you that may not know too much about Bob Chapek, he is a 27-year veteran of the entertainment conglomerate. So he's been with the Walt Disney Company for quite some time. So even though maybe he's not a name that you're super familiar with, thankfully he has been with the company for quite some time. It's not like they hired in somebody brand new.
No, definitely not. The biggest hurdle for most people that keep track of these things in the company, mm-hmm. Especially with the parks, with Bob Chapek is he's been over the parks now for a few years. And in his time, his leadership in this division basically has been a lot of price increases, a lot of extra cost things, you know, like there's things that obviously like these After Dark nights, right? Like we're going to go to these things and pay extra for them or whatever. But basically adding all of these like extra cost things, raising prices mm-hmm. and everything since he's been there. And also like cutting things. I mean, he's been in charge when all this stuff has been changing. However, he's also been in charge when we've gotten tons of new attractions recently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to determine whether Bob Chapek is going to be really amazing and awesome like Bob Iger ended up being. I was talking to producer James about this earlier. My feeling is, personally, I want someone to be like an uncle at the head of Walt Disney Company. And what do I mean by that? I mean, when Walt Disney was alive and he would present things, you can go back and watch Disneyland videos of the Disneyland TV show, the 10th anniversary special, his Epcot video, which we've talked about before. And there's just something about him presenting the things that are coming out of the company that you kind of just feel like he's a member of your family, like hanging out and talking about this cool thing he's going to do, right? And there's just something cool about that. Of course, he passed away. They had a bunch of different leaders that didn't do anything. And then, you know, not in that way anyway.
Right, yeah.
And then you got Michael Eisner,
yeah,
who he wanted to kind of be like that. Mm-hmm. So they had the Wonderful World of Disney during the 80s, and he would like introduce those movies. He was in a lot of videos talking about new attractions and experiences at the parks. He was the face of the company. When you thought Walt Disney Company, you thought, oh, Michael Eisner.
Sure. Yep.
And there was something about taking a giant company, and even now it'd be perhaps much more difficult because they're so large, and putting like a person that like you feel like you don't look at the Disney Company like a giant corporation, but there's this person at the top, and you kind of feel like the Disney Company is like, you know, like a small mom and pop shop almost, even though it's not. But the fact that like you get that feeling, I think is good, and I think that that adds something to the company, and I think that for fans, that's kind of what they want, because then you kind of get, a lot of times you get to, you know, they lift the curtain and you kind of see some behind the scenes stuff, and you get someone who just seems really excited about it. And I don't know about you, but if there's somebody that's very excited about something, it's hard not to also get excited about it. And so for something as big as the Disney Company, you know, Bob Iger did a great job, I think, for the company overall. But even when we talked about him a few weeks ago, I never really got excited about him. Like, he never, like, made me excited about what he was talking about.
You know, when I did get excited about stuff was when he did a couple things on Disney Plus, and I'm thinking about, like, the One Day at Disney thing where they kind of interviewed him and kind of followed him around.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, it was really eye-opening because, you know, you kind of, you see these people and you don't, you know, you don't know much about them as a person. You don't really get a sense of who they are.
Sure.
Or, you know, what makes them, what's it about the Walt Disney Company that they fell in love with? You know, what is their Disney story?
Sure.
So it was really cool to like see him like in the meetings in that little clip and kind of, you know, how involved he is. Because sometimes you think of these CEOs as just kind of being in their office and maybe not super involved.
Sure.
Same thing that I really liked with the Imagineering story where they kind of showed snippets of like when Eisner would be like walking around the construction areas with his people, same thing. And we saw some of that with Bob Iger in the Imagineering story as well, kind of them being at ground level and like being right there like for it all instead of just, you know, kind of sitting in their office and doing business things and just kind of, I like seeing them kind of just getting involved on that level too.
Yeah. So the big surprise with this whole thing, and I was shocked today seeing this,
because
I thought generally when you're going to have a change in leadership, it's kind of announced and like it happens later, you know?
Yeah, and it feels more gradual. This one felt very kind of like sprinting into a wall head first.
Yeah.
Like, boom, there it is. Like I said earlier in the show, honestly, I saw stuff on my social media and I assumed it was clickbait and like people were just talking about how, you know, we had already learned that Bob Iger was going to be letting his only signed through this time. And then after that, he was done. So I thought it was clickbait and they were just going to rehash what we already knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out, oh, nope, that was actually newsworthy. And it actually was something that was truly breaking news. It wasn't just titled that to get me to click on it.
Yeah.
So Bob Iger did say by phone to the New York Times, "It's only abrupt in other people's eyes because we haven't been talking about it publicly," and goes on to say, "I've basically been discussing this with the board for a number of months." So, and that's very true. I mean, they're not going to always, you know, kind of paint a perfect picture and let us know what the next step is. Because, you know, just, I don't know, in case something doesn't pan out or whatever. But it does seem like in the past, maybe it hasn't felt as abrupt, or you could kind of tell, oh, I bet this will, you know, when, okay, so like, when Eisner was kind of nearing the end of his time,
sure,
a lot of people kind of felt that, you know what, it's probably going to be, it'll probably be Iger. They kind of, you mm-hmm. know, you kind of always have somebody waiting in the wings to sure. take over. That's kind of been the protege for years, I guess would be a good way of saying it.
So Bob Iger's contract doesn't end until December 31st, 2021. Mm-hmm. He is going to remain with the company until then. He's taking on the title of executive chairman and will direct Disney's creative endeavors. So it sounds to me like part of his decision making, again, from part of his quote here, was that he thought it was very important to make sure that the creative side of the business was being taken care of. And as they rolled out Disney Plus, and he wanted to accomplish more about that stuff before he left the company at the end of 2021. So getting everything right creatively is going to be his number one goal. And he felt he couldn't really focus on that, trying to run the whole company on a day-to-day basis. So we'll see. I think putting him in the creative thing, I think, is great. Also, to be clear, he's still Bob Chapek is still going to report to Bob Iger and the rest of the board. So it's not like Bob Iger's not going to have any input on anything anymore. So it's going to be kind of a cool transition period. And hopefully, you know, I guess I could say that I trust Bob Iger's decision making. And like, he obviously sees something in Bob Chapek that he feels is going to be good for the company going forward. In fact, even former CEO Michael Eisner went on Twitter and said, "Congratulations to Bob Iger for 15 amazing years as CEO. Fantastic job protecting the Disney brand, expanding the breadth of the overall company, and orchestrating super growth. And he still has his hand on the creative rudder for almost two more years." So that's pretty dang cool.
So something that I think that's really interesting that I actually did not know is, you know, even though Bob Chapek is not a household name, well, it may be a household name very soon, but it's not a household name quite yet. He actually has done a few things that we are very well known for the Disney company. He actually first made a name for himself at Disney by spearheading the company's vault strategy. And so we all know what the Disney vault is. It's where the iconic Disney films kind of go into this so-called vault, and they're only released every once in a while, which then basically allowed the company to sell the same movies over and over and over again. So you take something like Snow White that's been out, you know, that was released for eons ago, it feels like, but they have been able to re-release it and keep the excitement up for that film and the releasing of the DVDs and then later Blu-rays. You know, honestly, I've always said that The Vault, as much as it frustrates me, was kind of a brilliant move.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how that kind of, I've noticed lately that I'm interested to see how that transitions into something different because of the fact right. that we have Disney Plus.
Yeah, the Disney Vault is no more.
Well, the funny thing too is I got an email today that was trying to get me to sign up for like the Disney Movie Club to like get DVDs like occasionally. Yeah. And I'm like, why would I do this when there's Disney Plus? Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's very true. Chapek was then named chairman of the Disney Theme Parks operation back in 2015, where he oversaw 170,000 employees worldwide. And he did also have quite a bit in helping Bob Iger open the Shanghai Disney Resort. He helped oversee the construction of both of the Galaxy's Edge expansions in Walt Disney World and also in Disneyland. And then he's, like Tag said, has done kind of things that we, you know, that we aren't so happy about because he was doing things to make the parks more profitable. But again, it is a business. We have to remember that. So yeah. Sometimes it's hard.
So something interesting that I think people probably know is the fact that Disney is so huge, they have a unique mix of businesses. You got to imagine, like, mm-hmm. they are not just one business, right. okay? So one of the things that he's going to have to struggle with is the fact that some of these businesses are healthier than others. So the movie studio, pretty much everybody thinks, is the strongest in Hollywood, so that's great. Mm-hmm. The Disney theme parks have been delivering record profits. Again, I kind of wonder with everything going on with coronavirus, because Iger stepping down is kind of the height of things. I think that there's a bumpy ride going ahead because I've heard rumors this week. Nothing has been official, but I've heard rumors this week that Tokyo Disney Resort will be closing down because of the coronavirus. So that will be almost every international park outside of Paris.
Yeah.
And the two U.S. parks.
Wow.
So like
right.
almost half of their mm-hmm. parks are closed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting. And then On the other side of it, the consumer products division isn't doing so well. Disney's television operation, which includes ABC, Disney Channel, and Freeform, has been struggling with ratings and lack of like shows that everybody wants to talk about and watch. And then coming in with Disney Plus, it started strong, but they already knew, and Bob Iger knew this too, that it's going to be losing money for a few years. So it's going to be interesting trying to get all the stuff set up for that. So there's definitely some things that need some work here, and we'll have to see how it goes. I'm interested to see who takes over the parks and resorts position now that Bob Chapek is moving up to CEO, but definitely a day of shock. I did not expect this to be our discussion topic tonight. In fact, I sat down to write the script and I started seeing people talk about it. I'm like, well, that throws that out, I guess. Like,
well, we're going to move what we had planned on to next week or further, which no problem whatsoever. But, you know, all in all, we're curious to see what this means for the company, you know, what some of the pros are, what some of the cons are. I am happy that Bob Iger is staying on and he's getting to kind of do more creative things, because like I said, just kind of getting a little sneak peek and kind of seeing him more as a person, he does seem like he's very passionate about the creativity side of things. Mm-hmm. So hopefully some really fun and amazing things will come out of that. And I want to wish Bob Chapek well, because this cannot, I mean, I can't even imagine. I do not envy him, I'll tell you that much right now, because it's just a beast of a company.
Somebody in our chat actually said earlier, I think it was Scott in our chat, said, have they considered, especially with the size of the Walt Disney Company, of having two people in control? Mm-hmm. Because when Michael Eisner was there, they had great success with, of course, Michael Eisner and Frank Wells together. Mm-hmm. They both handled kind of different things. So I wonder if down the road, if we're going to see another kind of thing like that, where there's two people that work together to run different aspects of the company or different facets. And that's kind of what gave Michael Eisner the freedom to be able to be that kind of like uncle person, you know? So I'm really interested to see how this kind of turns out. One of the other points that was brought up in our chat too was, do we even think the company's looking for that type of person to like be that kind of face, or just do they just need like a leader that's going to like just keep focusing on making
kind
money
of
and stuff.
The ship, You know, I'm with you. I'd like to see, you know, the kind of team aspect again. Obviously, that's how the company started. It was Walt and Roy, you know, kind of one that was, you know, super creative minded and then one that was very kind of more business minded. Sure. And I think that's a nice balance. And like you said, we saw that again with Michael Eisner and Frank Wells. So, you know, the thing that's, again, like I can't even imagine. Because we had two people doing this when it was just the film and just the one park. And now it's down to one person with
Marvel, Lucasfilm.
I kind of forget what all Disney owns, because there's just that much. You know, even like ABC and like some of the news stuff, ESPN. You know, there's so many extra things that I'm not super into that's also still technically Disney. So it's just, wow.
It's going to be really interesting. What did you think of Bob Chapek at D23? Like, I thought he was kind of stiff.
I kind of did too, but then again, you know, look at it from the other side. I don't know how I would have reacted if I was on stage and having to present to this huge packed room full of like the most avid Disney fans on
That's
earth.
True.
I think that'd be very intimidating. Mm-hmm. So, he wasn't like the most animated, like he wasn't jumping around the stage and that kind of thing, but, he was well-spoken, but, you know, I guess the same thing could kind of be said of when we saw Bob Iger at D23 presenting. You know, I think, I just can't even imagine, because in the Legend ceremony, I actually turned around and kind of was trying to figure out, like, exactly how big is this room? Because it was really dark, so you couldn't tell. Massive.
It felt like it went on forever.
Yeah. And, like, we were on one far side. I don't even know how far the other end was. I mean, just tons and tons and tons of people.
I guess what I want, and maybe Chapek will do this, but I didn't feel this with Iger either, so I guess we're not any worse off, I suppose. I just want I want to see in their face that like glint in their eye that like this is their life's work. This is like the most important thing to them, and they want to make like this company and this brand and these experiences just the best. Mm-hmm. Like that's what they want. It's not about how much money can we make off of this? Or because I think Walt understood that if you make a great experience, people will pay for it. If you make great products, if you make great movies, People are going to want all of that stuff. You know, if they make a great movie, merchandise is going to sell. I mean, we're seeing it in the parks with Mickey and Minnie ears and stuff. Like, people are buying tons of these things. Pins, like, they make tons of money off of stuff. If you have something good, right? Like, something that people love. So just focus on making great things, and, like, the money will follow.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So I think that if people just are really passionate about things, and if they really care about the brand, and they listen to their... you know, consumers, I guess, you know, there's Disney has this giant fan base that like there's a percentage of people that like I'm sure that Disney can do no wrong. They can do almost anything and they will still love Disney. Yeah. There, then, of course, there's the really critical, like you said, there's the avid Disney fans who are like, Walt would never have done this. What would Walt do? And like, you kind of got to get away from that a little bit, too, because like he's not around anymore and the world is different than it was in the 50s and 60s. But I just want somebody that, like, is passionate about it and wants to make great things and cares about the creativity and cares about the brand and
also cares just about all of the cast members.
And the cast members, you know, and it'd be great if, and I know this isn't realistic, but it'd be great if they could get a little bit away from worrying about you know, the stock market and their share price all the time. They are a business. They have to make money. I get it. I want them to focus on just making stuff great, because you know what? People will buy that stuff. All of the people in our chat that we talk to, all of our weekly tiers, everybody listening, like they're all Disney fans, right? Like they love the parks and stuff, and everybody's willing to pay for stuff. It's just, you got to make it accessible. You got to make it something they love to do. And it helps when there's someone at the top who like also cares a lot about it. But I don't know what else to say. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I'm interested to hear more from Bob Chapek and see kind of what his vision for the company is, kind of maybe what his guiding principles as being the new CEO are.
Sure.
Because I think when we kind of learned that about what Bob Iger's like vision and what his principles were, I felt like that said a lot about him as a person and kind of made me trust him more, I guess, you know. So I'm interested to hear more about Bob Chapek. I'm excited for Bob Iger to be able to kind of sit back a little bit more and kind of let his creative juices flow and kind of do something a little bit differently for his remaining time at the Walt Disney Company. And the nice thing, too, is he's going to be there for just over a year and a half, still while Bob Chapek's kind of learning the ropes. So it's not like they're kind of like, here you go, good luck, you know. So
catch you later.
So I think it'll be good. I know it's always, we always fear change, right? Same thing. Like I always keep going back to when we were talking not that long ago about them repainting the castle, and we were just like, what are they doing? And then it turned out to be awesome. Yeah. So I'm gonna stay positive.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see something on Disney Plus from him.
You know, the other thing too is we've talked a lot on this show about the fact that it's time for some new things, right?
Yeah,
like it's time for the company to do something different. And the only way you're going to kind of get that is you got to put somebody else.
Yeah.
So over the next couple of years, are we going to see a lot of change? I don't think so. I think that there are a lot of things that are going to affect a lot of decisions that aren't maybe what Bob Chapek necessarily wants to do. I think this coronavirus and the economy is really going to affect a lot of things in the beginning. However, I think when the economy improves, when we get this coronavirus taken care of, I think that, you know, when they get back to a healthy position, I think that we're going to see some really interesting things, and hopefully we'll see where he wants to take things.
Mm-hmm.
And change is good. You can't just stay doing the same thing all the time. So I just hope they don't lose the core of what makes Disney great.
For sure. Well, best of luck to both Bob Iger and Bob Chapek on their new adventures.
I'm just happy that Bob Iger finally gets to like actually retire and like enjoy his retirement a little bit, because he's been working hard, I'm telling you.
Well, now we return to James over in Trivialand to get the answers to this week's questions.
Yes, and what a great week for you two, though the score may not reflect it perfectly.
No.
So our first question came from Christopher K. When you are on Pirates of the Caribbean, what is the restaurant that you pass on the ride? That is indeed the Blue Bayou, one of my favorites to eat at, so I couldn't resist.
I think Christopher K. is my favorite patron.
Well,
my favorite person to write in a question.
Because,
that's awesome.
Yes, but then like you go to Tara on the other end of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to find a balance.
See, you know what? I want to say thank you to him, because remember a couple weeks ago we were saying, please send in some softballs. We need some relief.
Did this come in the last 2 weeks?
I think this one came in before that.
He just knew. He could feel it. He sensed. Yep. He sensed whatever in the force.
A disturbance in the force.
Disturbance. I knew you needed it. So, all right. Second question came from Katie J. Not including Galaxy's Edge, since we don't have clear numbers, what is the most expensive attraction at the Disneyland Resort and how much did it cost? Tag, I swear you are reading off my computer screen because you got it exactly right. Radiator Springs Racers, an estimated cost of $200 million.
Woo! Good job, Tag.
I knew that, like, because there was all that rock work and stuff was very expensive.
Yeah, so I tried to do a little bit of research on this one to see if there were costs out there for the Galaxy's Edge attractions. Found out Test Track over at Walt Disney World is actually believed to be the most expensive attraction, costing $300 million. So,
same ride system.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
And all I could find for...
Was that, now, hold on a second. Is that after Pandora was built? Because I feel like Pandora added a lot of the price.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I'd have to double back. So, what I did find on Galaxy's Edge is city permits. So for all the building and ride infrastructure, basically.
Wow, you did a lot of research.
Oh, I tried really hard. So the Falcon attraction was about $56 million and Rise of the Resistance was about $78 million. But I think there's a lot missing because for a $1 billion land, the price tag on the permits don't quite add up. But
I wonder if that's just like the building and not like, because they're probably not, when they talk about something like this, for permits purposes, they're probably not talking about all of the research and development cost and all that stuff, which really adds to the totals.
Yeah, like some of the stuff in the permit was pretty specific about how the ride was going to function, but definitely misses a lot of the development, I agree.
Sure.
So that's why I'm like, I have no idea. We're not going to play this game. All right, moving on. Our third question from Camille E. The Penny Arcade on Main Street USA has an oversized Indian head penny above the main entrance. What year is on the penny, and what is the significance of the year? Teresa, good work. Trusting Tag's gut, it was indeed 1901, Walt Disney's birth year. So.
Woo!
Wow. I love when I can pull something out of nowhere and it'd be right.
I know. If only you would have stuck with that answer instead of going with Walt's dad.
Dang it.
I was going to say, didn't you change your answer?
You know, through the magic of editing, it could be my answer.
And he even asked for half credit for it.
He did. So it was bold, but wow.
You know, through the magic of editing, I could stop
hey,
it.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey, hey.
None of this was the other cheating on. Can I use my iTunes to look up? Oh, sure.
You better listen to this episode after I post it to make sure.
Just to make sure, yeah. All right, our last question this week from Tara F. Which Disney sequel featured the famous Matterhorn warning to stay seated, please? And a bonus point if you can tell me the character that said the phrase. The hint for this was it was in Spanish. It was Tour Guide Barbie in Toy Story 2.
Permanecer sentados, por favor.
So I believe it is the after they have crashed into the bouncy balls that she gives that little spiel, but we would have to double back on that.
Very
movie.
Fun. Dang, I was trying to think of like why people would be needing a. I didn't even think of Toy Story. Dang it! Great question, Tara.
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
It's to been learn a my while Spanish. For him.
Stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
In your defense, not everybody's a super nerd and remembers.
No, I
specific.
I love this at Disney World.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor,
I love.
It's only at World. They don't have that in Land.
No, they have a different safety spiel.
See, I don't know these things either.
Let's see Disneyland Monorail safety announcement. Disneyland.
I just got excited that the last time. I don't think there's a safety thing. Oh, there we go.
I don't think there's a safety thing. For your safety.
For your safety. Oh, yeah. No smoking.
Great range of questions this week. Let's keep up the listener questions going. I love to get your emails and read these questions on the podcast. You can send me an email. It's trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks and hopefully the Magic Happens Parade.
Yes. And don't forget to go to our Instagram and sign up to get a free pair of ears.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.